Welcome to Behind the Podium, a podcast series brought to you by Fusion Learning Partners that lets you hear what speakers are saying before or after the podium mic is turned on. Join me, your host, Jasper Appleton, to find out what makes these speakers tick and find out new insights on topics that matter to you on each episode of Behind the Podium.
Welcome back to the Behind the Podium podcast. I'm your host, Jasper Appleton, and with me today is human potential expert, Dr. Verna Price. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Price.
Thank you for having me, Jasper. I really appreciate it.
Of course. A question we like to start off with here on Behind the Podium is, what drives you to public speaking and consulting? And what makes you want to do what you do and explore people's potential?
Well, I have to tell you a little bit about my story, right? So I'm born and raised in the Bahamas. My mother was a single mom. And so, as many single moms did in those times, particularly in the islands in the Caribbean, what you do is you give your children to your mom. So my grandmother actually raised me in my early years. And my mother is one of 10 children. And so I have 76 first cousins. So there are many of us, and which meant that I grew up with a lot of my cousins, right? So my cohorts, what I call them, my cohort of cousins were like 13 to 15 of us. And we were like all together all the time. We were always exploring, always talking, always laughing. And being from the Bahamas, you know, and a small island, Kett Island, it really was a time we were just free. You know, we were free. We were always happy. We were always moving around. At the same time, though, there was structure. And there was work. We all of us had work. You know, this is an island, so everyone has a job. And at the same time, my grandmother was this just this incredible woman with a big heart. And she taught me something, and she gave me what I call a passion for humanity, right? This passion for people. And so I just remember being a little girl on this island, and people would, you know, there was no such thing as homelessness or like a shelter or any of that. Anyone on that island who needed help got help. You just had to go into someone's yard. And I remember people would come into my grandmother's yard, and they would come in hungry. She would feed them. They would come in discouraged. She would encourage them. They would come in, you know, arguing with their husband or their wife. She would counsel them. So when it was time for the, you know, in the Caribbean, hurricanes come every season. You know, for the rest of the world, it's like, oh no, it's a hurricane. Nope, it's just every season a hurricane will come, right? And so when we would have hurricanes, she was the point person for the Red Cross. And for us, the only way to get supplies to us was over the Atlantic, right? From the United States. And so when that big boat would come in, she would organize us, all of us cousins, and we would go up there with her to the boat, and they would collect all the goods from the Red Cross, and then she would organize all the things. And I can remember distinctly, me and my cousin, we'd be given like a sack of goods, and we would be sent up and down this little road to then deliver it to our neighbors. Wow. And so she taught me how to serve humanity.
Yeah.
So no one ever taught me how to talk per se, how to speak. I've never taken a public speaking course. You know, it just came naturally that she taught us how to say hello to people, how to be civil, how to like have a conversation, you know? So that's really, it began very, very young for me, very young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really curious about just your opinions too on just the difference in culture too, from maybe how modern people in America are being raised to kind of view individualism as really the norm, when you experienced something completely different, which I would have loved to experience. That just sounds like community, like those stories that you read growing up, like of all those neighborhood kids doing, you know, all those, you know, exciting adventures. And it just seems like that's something that you lived through. So I really think that's something that's invaluable, that, you know, people at universities can't pay for, you know, when they take public speaking classes or go through that major. So I think that's really, really awesome. And so, yeah, what is your opinion on just like, do you think it is just how the culture is raised, just what is it?
Sure. You know, it was a collective culture versus an individual one. Mm-hmm. And which means that you take care of everyone, You really did. You know, you had a heart for your people. When I say your people, that means like anyone who came across. It's really interesting. I live in Minneapolis, and in my neighborhood, it's a little town where we have alleys in Minneapolis, right? So here's some kids going through my alley, and of course, I'm the lady on the block that knows everyone in my community. I have made it my point. I've gone to every house. I know every person. I know their children. I know the names of their dogs, right? And so kids, as they go through my alley, I'm like, hey, they're like, hey, Miss Verna, hey. Now, if something's going on in the alley, I'll step out in the alley and say, hey, what's happening here, right? And my children, especially my oldest son, when he first started seeing this and recognizing it, he's like, Mom, you're not their mom. You're not. I'm like, no, I'm their auntie. I am the black woman auntie that they all have, and I am going to make sure that I have a conversation both ways. One, a conversation of honor and respect, and two, a conversation of discipline if I need to have it. But my neighborhood knew, my kids knew that there was someone in that neighborhood that they know that they needed to stop over, or they needed a word of advice. Or, and interestingly, even as I talk to you about it now, Jasper, it's interesting because I relived and put into practice in a big city what I'd learned on an island. And you know, culturally now, of course, I as you know, or maybe you don't know, I'm the founder of a program called Girls Taking Action. So I took my teaching from my books. I created curriculum for girls grades 6 through 12, and then I trained women on how to mentor girls. And it's interesting because in that work, I literally have put this sense of collective culture into the curriculum. So the girls have to connect. I remember one Somali girl saying to me, she said, you know, before I came to Girls Taking Action, I would never speak to a African American girl. Yes, exactly, right? Even though they're both from African descent, they're African people. And I said, and she said, but now I understand. I get it. I get it. We're a community. We're a collective, and we're supposed to connect. We're supposed to get to know each other. So yes, it would do us well to actually do more of that. And I do believe that as we do more of that, there's less of the other negative things in our society. But you're absolutely right in how we're raising our children today. My children, of course, they know at any given moment, you are going to go here, there, you're going to help here, there. We, you know, I've taught my children to serve their community and to serve their world.
Yeah, and I think that's a great segue as well into one of my next questions, which is I saw you did a racism talk show, and I wanted to dive in a little bit on that because I feel like it's such an important conversation to have, especially in today's, I mean, just age. What was your experience like leading people through those difficult conversations through racism?
Oh my goodness. Well, first I had to reflect on my own experience, right? As an African, a Caribbean African woman coming into this country at the age of 10 years old. My experience on my little island, and then moving from my little island to Nassau, which is more of like a city, you know, kind of more city-ish, and then moving from there into Florida. You know, the folklore of America was that everyone in America was rich. Everyone drives a nice car. Everyone has a nice house. And everyone is dressed up all the time. Everyone always looks good. So when I crossed over from when my family came from Florida, from the Bahamas into Florida, and for the first time, Jasper, for the first time in my life, I saw people suffering like I had never seen before. I had never seen people on the street before. I'd never seen people begging before. Nothing, because we took care of our own, right? And then when I went to school, that was fascinating. There were three groups when I went to school. There was the group that looked like me. They were brown-skinned children, but they didn't necessarily talk like me. So now I knew that group was the African American black group, right? Then there was a white group who was clearly white people. You know, I'd seen white people before, but didn't have much to do with them in the Bahamas because we're a black country. And then there was this other group that was kind of bronze, and I didn't know like what like kind of like a cinnamon bronze color, and they spoke a different language. Of course, I didn't know who those people were, and of course now I know they're people from the Spanish speaking world, whether it was from Mexico or, or Chile or Puerto Rico, or they're Spanish speaking people, but I was not welcomed in any of those groups. Right, I talked funny. The black kids didn't think, the white kids had nothing to do with me, and then the Latina kids, they're like, we don't know who you are. So for the first time in my life, I went from being fully accepted, no one ever blinked an eye, to the fact that, I just grew up in a community where I knew that I was amazing. I left that little island understanding that my worth. And then I came into this country and I saw some things. I didn't even know what the name of it was. I came to understand that what I was witnessing was the remnants of racism. And then I started witnessing racism directly for me. Like, I would show up places as a keynote speaker before Google, and they didn't have my picture. And they would think that my white public PR representative was Dr. Verna. And then they would be appalled when they saw me, a black woman, was getting ready to step on the stage. So those conversations, I was able to, and I'm able to bring truth to those conversations and authenticity to those conversations. And it was fascinating, Jasper, watching people struggle with it. Because first of all, your typical person in America, particularly your typical white person, they're afraid of three things, right? Death, public speaking, and saying the word racism. You know what I mean? That
Not
just
wrong.
freaks them out,
Right.
like amazing freak out. So I continue to do that work behind the scenes within corporations, within companies, within organizations. And it is hard work. It is hard work. And I tell you, had I not learned and had a heart for humanity and a passion for humanity, I would not have been able to forgive the many things that ha that's happened to me personally as it relates to racism. So I can do this work. You can't do this work with anything animosity in your heart. You have to just love people and have grace, extend grace enough to be able to have them work through their thinking and their background and their emotion and their trauma and their perpetration of racism, and be able to think and talk through that, so it was the show was a real success, and I still get people who want me to go back and do that show again and again, and I'm thinking about ways that I can continue that show because it was very helpful to people.
I mean, it definitely seemed like it. I think, again, these conversations, they need to happen. And so you'll be at our government IT symposium on December 8th. One of the questions that I would also like to talk about is, although you may not have a tech background per se, I'm still curious to know your opinions on the opportunities and challenges that women and people of color in the IT workforce face. And what do you hope to offer that demographic listening to your keynote speech?
First of all, I would say to all women and people of color in the IT industry, I'm so glad you're there, because it really is in even though we rely on that industry, it's also a hidden industry. It's people behind the scenes. And sometimes you don't realize that the people behind the scenes are really the people who are making the decisions to create what's in front of the scene. So you have to make sure that there's representation back there, so that when you're having those conversations about how things should look or how things should go or how things should roll out, that they are culturally infused conversations, and they're culturally minded, and they understand that it's important that everyone have some way to relate to whatever it is that you're putting out. To my those in my IT community, I always tell them thank you, because often it's a thankless job. They work hard hours. They're extremely smart people. They don't always get the recognition they're supposed to get. And a lot of what we are benefiting from in the The world that we can all see is all coming from behind the scenes. So just to be able to have an opportunity to say to, my brothers and sisters in the IT world, thank you. And here's what makes you amazing. To me is an honor to really, it really is an honor.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited to have you. I think your energy is just something that's invaluable too. And I think these people are really going to feed off of it. So going into your topic a little bit, the power of people, which explores mm-hmm. four types of powerful people in a community, without giving away too much, describe the four types and which one would you say best describes you, which is—
I'm not going to give it away, Jasper.
Well, what about
I'm not going to do it. If you watch this podcast, I am not going to do it.
I tried, fans. I tried.
But let me just say this, is that I learned early in life that your power has nothing to do with your stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I learned early that every human being, regardless if you, what color, culture, ethnicity you are, where you're from, who your people are, how much money you have or don't have, even how much skill you have or don't have. Because, sometimes in the IT world, it's just like, well, I have this certification, I have this degree, I have that degree, I've been in this many hours. We find ways to compare ourselves. But in the world, in this understanding of your personal power and the power of people, the most important thing for you to understand is that you have it, that you have this power. And when you understand it enough to know how to use it and how to leverage it, and not only leverage it in your professional world, but in your personal world. Because I'm telling you, Jasper, I learned a long time ago that you have to bring your whole self to work. I cannot expect you to leave your personal self out the door. The truth of the matter is that you're gonna bring your whole self to work, and your whole self always shows up, and sometimes it shows up unexpectedly, right? Someone ticks you off. Someone sends the email the wrong way. Someone does a blind copy on you. Someone, all of a sudden, you're now being evaluated. How come your work is being evaluated and not somebody else's? And then all of a sudden, your personal self shows up. Well, in power, it means everything. So everything that I will say on December 8th, our IT community, they can take that work and put it directly into their professional work and become more effective and understand how they're using their personal power in the workplace. And they can also take it and put it directly in their personal lives to be happier, right? People say, well, Dr. Verna, are you always happy? I am. I really am. I mean, like, I wake up like this, right? Because I've learned to understand some things about my life and why it's so important to enjoy life and to be whole as a whole person. So they'll be able to take this and put it into both parts of their lives. And I hope that they will, Jasper. I really do. And I'm not going to tell you who those four people are. You're going to have to come December 8th. That's all to it.
You're going to have to see it for yourselves. Dr. Verna, she has been amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Verna Price. What's next for you coming down? I would love to know. The people would love to know. Take these next couple minutes to just explain what you got coming up in your life.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I have a new book coming out. It's called Power Lessons for Life with Dr. Verna. Amazing book. It's like a carry with you wherever you go, always can offer you something. And then with that, I've started a club, Jasper. It's called Dr. Vern.club. It's a club that you can join, subscribe to, and I offer mini videos every week, like 3 to 5 minute videos, just to keep you going and keep you motivated and keep you inspired and keep you learning about how to just make life better for yourself at work and also at home too. So can't wait.
Awesome. Well, we're going to put those links in the description. Thank you so much, Dr. Price, for joining us today. It has been an absolute pleasure. And we hope to hear from you again on the podcast some other time. And catch her on December 8th at the Government IT Symposium. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Podium, a podcast series brought to you by Fusion Learning Partners. Visit our website, fusionlp.org, for the full lineup of podcasts and for all the exciting events we have coming up.